Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for Sunday, November 1st, 2020. If you would like to follow along, please go to www.gracebaptistchurchnc.org, click the sermons link at the top, and choose today's manuscript. Here's Pastor John.
We're just going to focus on the Lord's Supper this morning, and the sermon title is it's just really a meditation on the object of our faith, and our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's always amazing to me, just if you really think about that concept of faith. It's just belief, but God created faith for one reason, that we might look unto Christ. That's what faith is. If faith does not look unto Christ, then it is not being used for the purpose for what God has created it for. And it's very mysterious, but the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we sing these songs and as we consider this and we see the elements there before us today. And so, before we begin, as always, let's pray one more time and ask the Lord to give us great grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning as Christ is the object of our faith. We're very humbled to know that the Word would take on flesh and dwell amongst us and then suffer as an offering, as a sacrifice. Him who knew no sin became sin. He took our sin upon himself. And so, Father, we are humbled. And we ask for your grace this morning as we take the Lord's Supper together, as we remember his death. I pray that Christ would increase, that we would decrease, Father, in spite of me. I pray that you would work. I pray that you would help us, Father, this morning in all that we do. And we even now, we pray for our country as well, that your will be done. We pray that you would work greatly even in our election and the elections coming up on Tuesday, that, Father, through all of these things, that our leaders would look unto Christ. Help us, Father, this week and now as we turn to your word. Give us great grace this morning as we look unto Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word faith is used all the time in the world. It means belief. And when the word is used, there's always a context. There's a specific meaning behind the word. There's an object in view when people use the word in different contexts. For example, someone might have faith that God will give them help during a great time of need. That's faith, belief that God will do such a thing. For a Muslim, it may mean they might have belief that Muhammad is going to do something for them, or they believe that he is the prophet in that way. A Hindu might have belief in different expressions of God that they might call faith in English. A Jewish person may have faith that God in the future will reign from Jerusalem or whatever. Even the atheist has some kind of faith or belief that their belief system is true. So in every context, we use, in our English language, we use this word faith, whether we're Christians or not, in many ways. But for Christians, it's very different. We have, and we use the word faith in a different way, and it is very different for us. We have faith that God will save us because of his great promises, that he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you, I will save you. We believe that God will save. So in this regard, especially as we trust in God's promises, really, he is the object of our faith. But when we think about faith in different contexts too, we believe that one day Christ will return. So our faith is there. We believe Christ will return one day. Today, with these things in mind, I would like for us to consider the specific object of our faith in the Lord's Supper. Because what does it say? We read it month after month for the last 13 years. Jesus says, remember. Remember. So the particular focus of our faith is in remembering what Christ has done for us in the Lord's Supper. Jesus says, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the new cup, the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." So with that in mind, I would like to focus on three ways that our faith is focused on Christ. Three ways, and then three responses to follow. I'll go ahead and give them to you now. The first thing we want to focus on is we want to consider the love of Christ. Christ's love for us. That's the first point. Second thing I would like for us to remember is Christ's sufferings for us. And then finally, what are the effects? So love, suffering, and what are the effects of Christ's death for us? It's not a very long sermon this morning, but we are going to do something a little different, so I'll get you prepared. We are going to put some words up from the Scriptures and do some congregational readings throughout the sermon. But let's begin. As we think about the focus of our faith, first thing I would like for us to consider is to consider the love of Christ. I do not understand the depths of the love of Christ. And the love of Christ is the same as the love of God, for in essence, they are. Christ is God. He took on flesh. But Christ loves us. Let me ask you, if you knew, those of you who are married, if you knew that your spouse would cheat on you many times over before you walk the aisle, would you go and marry that person? Would you make that person an object of your love, knowing that that person would do that? Well, when we think about it, that kind of puts it a little bit in perspective, because that is us. If you read the Old Testament, we are described as those who are adulterous. We have moved away from our worship of the living God. That's the way the Bible portrays us. Yet, we read about the steadfast love of God, and in the New Testament, the love of Christ, as we are the object of His love. The Apostle Paul describes himself in 1 Timothy as a violent, blaspheming, persecuting opponent of the gospel of God. In that same passage, he calls himself the chief of sinners. He says, "The grace of God, though, overflowed towards me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." To the Galatians, Paul says this, "I've been crucified with Christ, but yet I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who did what? Who loved me and gave himself for me." He also says this, "To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And one of the things that Paul prays for when he prays for believers is that he says that we might know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. How many of us have not sinned this week? Whether it's in our heart or in our actions, the way we treat our kids, the way we treat our spouse, the way we treat our friends, the way we treat our coworkers, even the way we might treat ourselves in the things that we do. How many of us have not sinned? And then those of us who are Christians, and I don't presume that everyone here is a Christian for sure. I'm never so naive, and I'm always, when we come to these things, and we come to the Word, I'm always asking, come to Christ. Look unto Him if you are not a Christian. Repent and turn and be saved. Always. I never am so naive to think that. But for those of you who are in Christ, and you look at your own sins, and you go, wow, why would Christ love me? But then you look back to even before you became a Christian, and you look what you were. Paul says, "I was a violent, blaspheming, insolent person." And I think of the words, "But God commands His love towards us. While we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us." So that's one of the things we think about when we take the Lord's Supper today. We remember the love of Christ. Pam, if you put the first reading up together, I'm going to read, as we normally do, the one that says pastor, and then you guys will read congregation. We'll do the same thing in the second part and later on in the sermon as well. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." So with this in mind, as we take the Lord's Supper this morning, as we eat and drink and see these elements, may we consider the great love of Christ, and may we be moved by God's grace. Another thing that we focus on when we remember the death of Christ is we remember the sufferings of Christ. So not only His love, but His sufferings. The elements that we see, the elements that we will take and eat and drink, they picture the body and blood of our Lord. The body and blood of a man who died, physically died. And in his life and his death, there was great suffering. This morning, the object of our faith is also the suffering of Christ. I think particularly we must consider that the purpose of His suffering was for the purpose of laying down His life as an offering for sin. In the Old Testament, the Israelites, they would take the animals to the priests, and they would say to the priest, "We have sinned. Take these animals now and offer them as a sacrifice for our sins." This morning, in the same kind of way, as those animals and that priesthood there in that day look forward and pictures our Lord Jesus Christ, today, in the same kind of way, Christ is our sacrifice. But there's a big difference between Christ and those animals. It wasn't a sinful man who offered up his life, because Jesus did not sin. The Bible says He has no need, like those high priests of those days, to offer sacrifices daily, first for His own sins and then for those of His people, since He did this once for all when He offered up Himself. Brothers and sisters, if I or you were to offer up yourself as an offering to God, you would be punished. And this punishment would bear the full extent that our sins deserve, which is separation from God, and being cast into a place called hell. Very clearly, forever. That's what would happen. But Christ, He wasn't a sinful man. He knew no sin. He was perfect. And so He did not deserve what He got. But He laid down His life as an offering for sin, as a perfect sacrifice. Let's read some verses together. "For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Today we remember our Lord Jesus suffered. He did not deserve it, but He did. And He laid down His life because He loved us. And so we remember that this morning. We remember His suffering. Finally, we remember the effects of Christ's death. This morning as we eat and we drink, the object of our faith must also be upon what the death of Christ has accomplished for us. Think about marriage. I've been married to Kristen for 27 years, and the benefits and the blessings of marriage are abundant. And when I think about those blessings, I think about a lot of things. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Mostly we see practically Adam and Eve. Eve was given for companionship to be a great helper to Adam. And we, as a married husband and wife, we help one another. And we are companions to one another. So many blessings. We have four children. We help each other make decisions in our marriage. Lots of things we do together. There are a lot of other benefits, whether it's finances or love or some type of security or friendship, whatever it is, there are many blessings of marriage. In the same kind of way, being the bride of Christ is full of blessings. Our blessings are great. And these blessings flow down from us because of the death of Christ. Let's consider some of these effects today as we read from Ephesians 1. Now, before we read this, Ephesians 1 is just one big long sentence in the Greek. I don't think Paul just didn't stop because he could not stop thinking about the blessings of God that had come down to him in Christ. These are the benefits that come down to us as we sit here this morning and think about remembering our Lord's death. Pam, if you want to go ahead and put those up. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on the earth. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Brothers and sisters, these are just some of the effects that come down to us because we are united with Him, because Christ died for us. These are the things that the Apostle Paul, along with us today, give thanks for. Things we remember that flow down from the death of Christ. And practically, being forgiven by God, being reconciled to God, having our sins fall upon Christ, and His righteousness to fall upon us is the greatest cause of peace. That's another benefit. Peace. He says the world has no peace. When we look around and we see what's going on in the world, what do we see? Things that do not bring peace. That's one of the things that separates Christians from non-Christians. Peace. When we lay our heads down on our pillows at night, do we have peace? Christians have peace. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go through lots of tribulations and lots of trials, well, sickness and death and anxiety and all kinds of things that are coming our way. It doesn't mean that at all. But when we consider, as we consider the Lord's Supper today, when we remember His death, over a period of time, we are going to be people who have peace in our hearts because our sins are forgiven. We are no longer children of the devil, no longer children of wrath, but we are children of God. And so I would ask you, how is it when you lay your head on your pillow at night? How is it now when you sit here and you listen? There's nothing greater than to know that your sins are forgiven. And those who look upon Christ and say, Christ, I have sinned. I have sinned against You. I've sinned against my brother, my sister, whoever. But I know that You died. I know that You were offered up as a sacrifice in my place. Please forgive me. For those who do that, peace comes our way. Because no longer is the wrath of God upon us. No longer is our guilt hanging over our heads. Before I came to Christ, I had great guilt. I would often think, man, John, all the things that you know you should be doing or not doing. I remember as a child, I used to just pray, Lord, just help me do what's right. And I look back at my heart. Who knows? God knows my heart better than I know it. But I would just pray, God, help me to do what is right. Well, the most right thing that you can do is to look unto Christ today, is to repent of your sins and trust in Him and enjoy the benefits that Christ has given for us. And so I would ask, how is your peace today? So many things I could say there. But three things that we focus upon when we take the Lord's Supper here today. The love of Christ, suffering of Christ, and the benefits or the effects of what Christ's death has done. With that in mind, I have three ways that our faith is acted out because of the Lord's Supper. What do we do? First one is just recognition. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, we recognize the death of Christ. By faith, we look back at a past event. But even though Christ's death was over 2,000 years ago, by faith, Christ's death is still present for us, just as it was for those who stood by the cross and watched. Our advantage is the same as theirs, because by the Spirit, the death of Christ has been applied to us. And so we recognize by faith in the same way they did 2,000 years ago. In this way, we remember. Another way our faith is acted out is through humiliation. I've already mentioned this. But when we remember the cross of Christ, there should be a great sense of humiliation that floods our souls. The Apostle John, he stood by the cross as Jesus died. And he wrote in detail about what happened in the Gospel of John. In John 19, verses 35 to 37, writing about himself, he says, "He who saw it has borne witness." He's talking about seeing the death of Christ. "He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the Scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced." There's a lot here in these verses, but here John is quoting a passage from Zechariah when he looks forward to a day when Israel will mourn as they remember the one they have pierced. And they will mourn like they had just lost their firstborn child. But in that context, Zechariah speaks of a great day in the future when God will restore His people as well. And John takes these words and applies them to the death of Christ, that we might, in the same way John did as Christ was dying there, mourn His death. Today, when we consider Christ's death on the cross, we come by a humble faith as we know that it was my sin that put Him there. It was your sin, even the very sins that you're calling to mind even now as I speak, they put Christ on the cross. And when we think about that, we are humbled that our Lord would do such a thing, knowing that He still loves me, loves us. But while we were yet sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. So when we remember today, we are humble. And this humility goes out from this place, knowing that Christ died for us. Finally, this morning, the last way we act out upon it is through thankfulness. We give thanks. We give thanks for the great wisdom of God and the great plan of history to save His people. We give thanks to Christ for His great grace for us. There's nothing in this world that gives me, that gives the Christian, a more thankful heart than the cross of Christ, because our sins are covered. So today, just a moment as we take the Lord's Supper, if you find that your faith leaps up within you as you consider the love of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, the effects of Christ, then this supper is beneficial for you and your faith, and it's beneficial for us. God is good to give us such a feast. So with these things in mind, here at Grace, if you are visiting, we do practice open communion, which means if you are a baptized believer in Christ and you're not under discipline from another church, you're welcome to come and take the Lord's Supper with us this morning. And as we've been doing it different since COVID has come along, we've got tables in six places or seven places. I don't even know, but they're all over. So what we would ask is, when possible, just one person from your family come up and get enough and take them back to your family. Just come to the closest table. Remember as well, when you open it up, there's two compartments. If you open up the bottom one first, then you'll have to open the top one, and it's just a little bit. Just remember that. Put your fingernail between it and get the top one first. What we're going to do in just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you, we're going to take a moment, ask everybody to come and gather the elements and take them back. And then at that point, I will read, and we'll do that together and take the Lord's Supper together. So right now, let's just take a moment of silence, and then I'll pray for us, and then right after that, come and take the elements. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning as we have been given a beautiful command and a great privilege to remember our Lord's death until He comes back. And so we remember Your love, we remember Your sufferings, we remember the benefits, all the things that Christ has done that work its way down to us and have become ours. As we take the Lord's Supper this morning, we remember these things. I pray that You would give us great grace this morning as we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also join us at the South Row Inn YMCA, 950 Kimball Road in China Grove, North Carolina. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for fellowship, and service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.